Channel 4 News, ITN Productions, on 4. Frontline. A photo of a young woman with long dark hair.
هاي أنا وعد من 10 سنين.
In subtitles, she says, "That's me, Wad, 10 years ago. I was 18 years old."
السنة اللي تركت فيها بيت أهلي لأدرس بجامعة.
That year, I left my family home to study at Aleppo University. My parents told me to be careful. They always said I was headstrong, even reckless. I never understood what they meant until I had a daughter. You. A baby girl with black hair and big dark eyes and a gold stud earring. Channel 4 News and ITN Productions present for Channel 4 with Frontline PBS, directed by Wad Al-Khatib and Edward Watts. Filmed and produced by Wad Al-Khatib. For Sama. Someone says, "Downstairs, downstairs, another one's coming." Wad picks up the camera but carries on filming. She says, "I'm coming. Can someone take Sama, please?" Shaky, handheld footage as she carries the camera. Was it an airstrike? A tank shell? This is insane. We're getting this every day. Passing a baby walker, Wad films as she walks down a bright white hospital corridor. White smoke suddenly billows out from around the corner and fills the air in front of her. Wad backs away and says, "Quick, we've got to go downstairs." The camera shakes as she goes down the stairs. "Who's got Sama?" she asks. Someone says, "It hit behind us." Wad emerges from the stairwell. People are standing around in the hallway. Wad says, "Where's my girl? Who's got my girl?" Tiny babies with bandages on are being carried. The lights flicker as another shell hits. They're suddenly plunged into darkness as the power goes out. Someone shouts, "Come on, we need to pump the ventilators by hand. Come on, quick, quick." Life support machines flash in the darkness as staff attend to patients. Oh God. Oh God. Sama, your daughter's there. "I'm coming, my love. Where is she?" "Here she is. She's feeding. I had the mask on her face. She was asleep when..." Sama's lying quietly in a pink baby suit, sucking on a bottle of milk. A woman jokes, "Not to worry, doctor, we're resilient." When the doctor replies, "We're well fortified," she says, "Oh, shut up, for God's sake," and he laughs. Wad says, "Ever since you said the hospital can't be bombed, it's been bombed constantly." When Sama throws her milk bottle, a man jokes, she's saying, "Mum, why did you give birth to me? It's been nothing but war since the day I was born." The doctor plays peekaboo with a breathing mask, making Sama laugh.
Sama,
you're the most beautiful thing in our life. But what a life I've brought you into. You didn't choose this. Will you ever forgive me? July 2016. Rising up over the city of Aleppo, with smoke on the horizon. The Syrian regime and its allies have put us under siege. Aleppo, my city. We never thought the world would let this happen. Panning around 360 degrees to view the city. Many buildings have been destroyed. Smoke hangs in the air. I keep filming. It gives me a reason to be here. It makes the nightmares feel worthwhile. An injured young girl lying on the floor. A distressed boy with blood all over his face. Adults and children being treated on the floor of the overcrowded hospital. Wad works on her laptop in her apartment while Sama sleeps. When I hear the Russian warplanes in the sky, it cuts through me. Yes, I'm scared of dying. But what scares me the most is losing you. Wad tenses at the noise from outside, then bows her head. Looking anxious, she presses on with her work. Sama, I've made this film for you. I need you to understand why your father and I made the choices we did, what we were fighting for. Sama's peaceful, sleeping face fades to black. 5 years earlier, Wad's filming as she goes up steps strewn with rubble. I was in the fourth year of my economics degree when the revolution began. It's the morning of April 29th, 2012. Aleppo, science department. This is the Great Wall of the university. Some young men are graffitiing the wall, spraying messages around the Syrian independence flag. Wad asks what they're doing, and one man replies, "We're overthrowing President Bashar, even if only on the walls. We're the free students of Aleppo University." The dictatorship of the Assad family had ruled Syria since your grandfather was 10. The country was drowning in corruption, injustice, and oppression. Raise your voice, raise your voice. We'll live in dignity or die. A man uses a rock to break a lock on a gate. Protesters pour through into a city square, and a mural of Bashar al-Assad is destroyed. Amongst a sea of protesters with arms raised, several people are standing on the roof of a car. Free students in Aleppo University, University of the Revolution. Our revolution is peaceful. Muslims and Christians together. The regime denied protests were happening. Filming on mobiles was the only way to show the world we were fighting for our freedom. Wad's camera films soldiers marching down the street as the protesters chant, "Traitors, traitors, traitors! The Syrian army betray the people!" Wad says, let me pass," as she forces her way through the crowd. Then she films from a car as the soldiers use brute force on the protesters. "Look behind us, the soldiers! There they are! Look, look, use your eyes! Lock the door, lock the door!" Someone outside tells them to open the window. "Don't do it, they'll arrest us. They'll beat us. Go, go, they will arrest us. Keep it shut. Scum."
Sama,
at that time, the only thing we cared about was the revolution. Wad says to a man in medical scrubs, "Hey Hamza, you guys are so late." "Stop nagging," replies Hamza. "I'm just excited," says Wad. "Let's go." Hamza was one of my close friends. He'd graduated as a doctor. He helped people injured in the protests. Filming, she says. The first aid team are on our way to the Friday demonstration. Wad films herself in the wing mirror of the car as they travel through town. We're rushing because we're late, she says. Hamza had a constant smile on his face. He put me at ease, no matter what was happening. Because he was one of the few doctors who was also an activist, I was always filming him. As someone mics him up, Hamza asks, "Am I looking good? How's the sound?" He was in a long-term relationship at the time. Hamza has short dark hair, glasses, and a friendly, smiling face. None of us had any idea how our old lives would soon be swept away. Out filming, Wad says, it's 29th January 2013, East Aleppo. We've heard bodies have been found in the river. An announcement over a loudspeaker says, everyone, please, please, if you've seen the bodies, go outside. No reason to rush. The new bodies won't be buried today. Are you here to film this? Of course. Rows of dead bodies wrapped in blue tarpaulin. One has his head exposed, showing graphic signs of severe trauma. Hamza says, today, Aleppo woke up to a massacre, and that's putting it mildly. Dozens of bodies were laid out on the ground. The initial forensic examination shows clear marks of torture on most of the bodies. All the bodies were handcuffed civilians. Most were executed with a bullet to the head. Distraught civilians are walking amongst the dead. Another corpse being lowered from the back of a truck. Crowds of onlookers stand on the riverbanks as several men try to recover more bodies from the muddy water. Wad asks, what are they doing? And is told they're trying to fish the bodies out. The dead are buried in a mass grave. All these people lived in areas that opposed the regime. Most had last been seen at a regime checkpoint. We felt it was a message. Earth is thrown on the corpses. One body's white shroud is stained with blood, and their hand is exposed. A crowd sings, our dead have gone to paradise. Bashar has killed our people. That son of a killer. Our dead have gone to paradise. A youngster on an adult's shoulders chants through a loudhailer. We were shocked at what the regime was willing to do to stay in power. Your grandparents were scared for me, Sama. Speaking on her phone, Wad says, listen, they told me to come home, but I'm not going to. No, there's no way they'd let me return here, and there's so much I could contribute. Headstrong as I was back then, of course I decided to stay. Hamza's wife was pushing him to leave Syria. He had to decide between the revolution and his marriage. He chose to stay. A helicopter in the blue sky. When armed rebels freed the east of the city, the regime's violence grew ever more extreme. A huge explosion erupts in the distance. Running and filming, Wad says, is Hamza there? crowds of people gathered in the streets around the ruins of a bombed-out building. Some lift rubble by hand, others push a car to clear the road. Someone tries to hammer through rock to reach those trapped inside. Hamza was one of 32 doctors who stayed in East Aleppo. How many are in there? Hamza replies, we pulled the woman from here. She said she has a five-month-old baby. We're going to keep digging until we find him. Without the regime, we had to do everything for ourselves. There were no schools, emergency or medical services. So Hamza and our friends set up a hospital. Smiling at the camera, Wad says, we have to thank Bashar Assad for forcing us to do everything from scratch. We get to be our own cleaners, pharmacists, plumbers. Hamza has painted a friend's face. Wad asks him, are you happy, doctor? You're the manager of the hospital, but you're mucking around with your staff like this. Is this why you wanted freedom? The friend paints Hamza's face. When Wad asks the friend how he's feeling, he says, it's beautiful to have the word freedom painted across my forehead. Omar, on the left, had just won a scholarship to study architecture. Gaith, on the right, was a medical student before the revolution. They both volunteered as nurses. We were a family. We shared a lot of moments together for the first time. The struggle to survive. Helping a baby in an incubator, they say, it's been half an hour and he's still breathing. It wasn't wrong to try to save him. He's hungry to live. We had our first taste of shelling together. Downstairs, downstairs. Quickly, quickly. Wad. Later, Omar jokes, I didn't know whether to laugh or run. I said, calm down, let's go. He was like, fighter jet, fighter jet. Sadly, we also shared our first loss. Gaith and his brother Mahmoud were killed in an airstrike. Omar was killed by a tank shell. Wad films a crowd gathered around Omar's body in the hospital. A man weeps as he cups the dead man's head. The body in a bag is carried on a stretcher by grim-faced men to a waiting van outside. The stretcher is carefully moved into the van through its side door, amongst a crowd of people. The van then slowly pulls away. Looking drained, Hamza and others, many wearing scrubs, gradually begin to filter back inside in silence. Wad's with Hamza and filming in a lift with a mirror. She turns the camera on him. She asks him, are you okay? He looks away, unable to answer. Losing them made it even more important to go on, whatever the cost. Hamza and another man, sitting in silence in a small room with beds. A door's opened, ready for a yellow ambulance that comes to a quick halt in the street outside, a few feet away. A machine showing a green waveform. One day at the hospital, I was filming a boy they were trying to save. It made me cry. Hamza came and told me angrily, "You can't cry here. Get out of here." I ran upstairs. Blood on the floor. Then the dead boy covered with a sheet. He followed me and said, "What's wrong? I can't bear to see you break down. Don't you realize I'm in love with you? Will you marry me?" I couldn't believe it. Now Hamza's in a suit and Wad's on his arm in a white wedding dress. Their wedding takes place in a small room with modest decorations. The newlyweds are showered with confetti. Our wedding was small but beautiful, Sama. The sound of our songs was louder than the bombs falling outside. They dance. Then someone says, "Turn the light off for them." Someone jokes, "It's the Pink Panther." Hamza replies, "I did think that for a minute." It's the last song. "All of you, leave us alone." The newlyweds slow dance. Hamza was someone who took me by the hand and told me this is the road we're taking. It is a long road, full of danger and fear, but freedom waits for us at the end. With her arms draped around Hamza's neck, Wad stares into his eyes. "Come. Let's walk it together." The couple embracing, then a beautiful sunset over Aleppo. For Sama. For Sama. Hashtag for Sama. Smoke rises from the wounded city of Aleppo. September 2016, third month under siege. Sama is in bed.
Sama.
Wad says, "Good morning, sweetheart." Sama's drinking from a milk bottle. Wad says, "There's lots of airstrikes today, right? But we haven't been hit. Yay." Wad says, "My love." Then Sama plays peekaboo, putting her arm over her eyes.
No.
She drops her bottle, then disappears under the covers.
Sama.
Things have got so bad now. Sama peers out from beneath the covers. A helicopter flies above, and shattered windows have been covered with plastic sheets. Your dad can't leave the hospital, so we live here now. This is our room. Behind those pictures are sandbags to protect from shelling. The room's cluttered, with two single beds pushed together. Wad says, "Yes, I'm coming." We do our best to make it feel like home. Wad plugs in her phone. She jumps at the sound, then quickly reaches for Sama. She says, "Is it starting again?" And a voice on the walkie-talkie says, helicopter approaching the front line, armed with a barrel bomb. She leaves the room with Sama. There's an emergency. I've got to go downstairs. Wad hands Sama over to another woman. The woman kisses Sama, then a door closes. Someone's carrying a small child and running through a corridor. The injured child is placed on a gurney. Two boys have followed them in, and the younger of the two is crying, wiping his tears on a dust-covered T-shirt. He tries to get a look at the injured child. Someone ushers them out and asks, "Is he your brother?" And one of them says yes. Wad asks, "Where was the strike?" The older boy replies, "I was at the window telling my brother to come inside, and suddenly it struck. The missile hit the house." Someone asks, "No pulse?" The older brother is now sitting on the floor sobbing. He says, "He's our brother." He cries, "He was just outside the house." And as the team wrap the little boy up in a sheet, someone says, "May he rest in peace. Pray for him." The older boy looks on as his dead brother's head is covered. Moments later, the two boys are huddling around the exposed face of their brother, hanging their heads, devastated. The younger boy kisses his brother's face. The medical team are standing nearby, looking helpless. Suddenly, they hear a woman asking, "Was my son Mohammed brought here?" Someone asks what his last name was, and she's shown to the little boy's body that's laid out on a bench. She exclaims, "It's my son, it's Mohammed." As she lifts him up, the man says, "Let me help you." But she replies, "He's my son and I'll carry him. Why wouldn't I carry him?" He follows her out and offers to help again, and she says, "Don't take him from me. I wouldn't forgive you." She walks off down the street with the dead boy in her arms, wrapped in a bright blue blanket, saying, "Mohammed Amin is dead. My darling is dead." Wad finds one of the medical team sitting on a gurney with his head in his hand. She asks him, "What's wrong?" He replies, "Nothing," then thinks for a long moment. He says, "Children have nothing to do with this, nothing." Staring towards the floor, he lowers his head. Wad runs up a series of steps. Now Sama is reaching for the camera. "I feel I'm suffocating, Sama. I keep seeing you down there, like that boy, and me like his mother. I can't tell Hamza. I can't even bear to tell myself." 1 year earlier. Jubilant crowds of people are in a street and some are dancing. They sing, "Here is Aleppo, here is Aleppo." Aleppo, 18th March 2015. Fireworks explode in the night sky. "For such a long time, we were sure we would win. In rebel Aleppo, we lived in a free country. Finally, we felt like we had a home we were ready to die for. We were ready to put roots into the ground." A little girl smiles at the camera and gives the peace sign. This is the guest room. Hamza asks her why the light's on and says that the wiring's dodgy. Muad films herself in a mirror and says, "Today is a very special day for me. We finally got the house and cleaned it. We had many problems, but now we can enjoy living in this beautiful house." She whispers to Hamza, "I love you." And he says, "Congratulations on the house." We found our first home together. It had a garden just like the house where I grew up. Filming in the courtyard garden, she says, "God created this beauty and you just want to cut it back?" A tree's planted and pink and white flowers bloom. At that time, everything in the city looked beautiful to me. Bombed out blocks under a thick layer of snow. A man with a rifle trudges through the snow. Children play with snowballs. Wad's garden is thick with snow. Hamza joins her. He says, "Look at the table." And she replies, "Look how pretty it looks. It looks beautiful." He makes a huge snowball and says, "Aren't you scared?" She says, "Hand it over." And he replies, "Seriously?" "My camera." She places her gloved hand over the lens to protect it. Hamza's holding the camera now, and he films her as she says, "I love you so much, even more than the snow." Hamza writes, "I love you," in the snow on the table. Now Wad films herself going through to the bathroom. On the edge of the sink is a pregnancy test, and a series of lines have shown up in the results window. She zooms in on herself, smiling tearfully in the bathroom mirror, and says, "I'm pregnant." She says, "Oh my God." Then later practices the phrase, "Hamza, I'm pregnant," in front of the bedroom mirror.
Hamza and Hamid. Hamza and Hamid.
At an ultrasound appointment, she says, "Can you see the hand? Even before you were born, we knew you were special, Sama." At the appointment, a hand points to the ultrasound screen. Wad smiles happily and says to Hamza, "I love you." "The happiness you brought was laced with fear. Our new life with you felt so fragile. As fragile as the freedom we felt in Aleppo." Now Wad's putting on a white headscarf, which she covers with a hijab. Islamic extremists were trying to take over the rebellion. Carrying her camera, she leaves the house. But it was the Assad regime that was trying to kill us. Lights flash outside, and on the street, a burst of yellow illuminates the road as a loud explosion rips through the air. Wad asks, "Has it bombed?" And a man replies, "Not yet." He says, "It's coming back." Wad hurries through a building with her camera. Smoke fills each of the rooms of her house. She says, "In the name of God." Now it's night time and Hamza's outside. He says to her, "It didn't hit our building, but the ones behind us." Poor plants. He scrabbles through the rubble in the garden and says, "Bloody Assad." Wad says, "Be careful, darling." Then, while he's watering a small tree he planted earlier, she asks, "What's wrong?" He says, "I mean, we created something. We planted them, we watered them, and they grew, only to be destroyed by a shell." I hope they're not all dead. A new day, and the rain's pouring down on the streets of Aleppo. A bright pink plant nods in the breeze. Wad's filming herself sitting on the floor, her face full of melancholy. I don't want to die. I do not want to die. I want to live. I want to give birth. I want Hamza to be with me. I want all those things. I don't want to die. I want to live. Please, God, don't let anything happen to my baby or to Hamza. I can handle everything else. Please, God. Everyone who stayed in the city had to deal with the same fear, Sama. A woman is cooking. Wow, it looks delicious. Afra and her husband Salim have three children, Wissam, Zain and Naya. The family are our best friends. The children are playing trains with their father. "Get down, Naya, it's my turn." Afra says, "Children take after their parents, and we're optimistic. They don't care if there's a siege. They don't even know what a siege is." Wad finds one of the children on the balcony. She asks him, "Do you want to leave Aleppo?" He replies, "They said there will be an invasion, but I want to stay." When Wad asks him, "What if your parents want to leave?" he replies, "I'll stay on my own." She asks him where, and he doesn't know. "What about your parents? Are they leaving or staying?" He doesn't know, and now has tears in his eyes. She asks him, "Why are you crying?" And he breaks down even more. She leads him into the kitchen to his mother. Afra hugs him and says, "We won't make you leave, I promise. No one's leaving, come on." He walks out of the kitchen. Someone says he's upset because his friend didn't show up today. He fled with his family. Afra is crying now and says, "Even the children don't want to leave, so how can we go?" "I respected this family so much. They were trying to be brave in the face of an impossible choice. To leave the city would set the worst example to the children. But it's better to be selfish, to run and save yourself." "What do you want to be when you grow up?" The boy replies, "I want to be an architect so I can rebuild Aleppo." But to stay meant putting them through hell. The little girl asks Wad what she's doing. She says, "I'm filming you." "I didn't know what we'd do when you were born." A white crib decorated with white and pink ribbons. Back home, Wad takes a call and says, "Listen, I'm going into hospital very soon. I'm giving birth today." Someone says, "Are you serious?" Wad asks Hamza how he feels, then says, "I will bring you a monkey just like me." "We went to the hospital your father set up." They walk along the corridor, hand in hand. In the birthing room, Wad smiles warmly at Hamza, who's in scrubs. He holds her hands. Afra and a man are outside the door and jump for joy at the sound of a baby crying. Hamza carries his newborn daughter through the operating room, singing, and others join in. Now Sama's being examined, and someone says, she looks just like Wad. When I saw you, I remembered all we had suffered, all the people we lost. Wad's holding baby Sama in her arms. She starts to cry. Yet you gave me hope to start anew. Hamza strokes Wad's face and says, don't make her cry. Wad giggles through the tears, then kisses Hamza's hand. She says, enough already. For Sama. For Sama, October 2016, fourth month under siege. Soaring over a park where trees have been ripped in half, and the deserted walkways and children's playground are covered in frost. Hashtag for Sama. Rising above the bombed out buildings of Aleppo. Holding Sama, Hamza whispers to her, then playfully covers her face. Tonight, after the daily bombing, a friend brings you down to us. We are in the emergency room. Hamza looks after Sama, while on the other side of the room, a dead toddler is lying on the examination bed, the child's hands and ankles tied with a white gauze. A young teen is standing nearby, covered in dust, and he says, my nephew. Wad asks, were you at home asleep? And he nods.
Hello.
When she asks about the child's parents, the teen says, killed, I think. Someone strokes the dead child's hair. I hate to admit it, but I envy this boy's mother. At least she died before she had to bury her child. The rooftops of the devastated city and smoke rising in the distance. In the quiet that follows a massacre, when I feel I'm suffocating, I take you out of the hospital and bring my camera along. I just need to see people alive. To try and live a normal life in this place is to stand against the regime. A chess game is taking place, and someone says, if the king dies, the game is over. If Bashar Assad dies, the war's over. Someone else replies, that bastard has a long neck. A sure sign of long life. He's a bloody giraffe. A completely collapsed building, then water gushing out onto the street through an exposed pipe. Children are swimming in the huge puddle it's created. A pot of paint is prepared. Today, Salim organized a party for you and all the other kids. He says, we're a team. One bucket and brush between two. Paint all round the bus. Make your part beautiful. We try to give you what childhood we can. Sama has a paintbrush. They're painting a burnt out bus. Wad asks Naya, how did this bus burn? And she replies, it was bombed. Do you know what hit this bus? She says, a cluster bomb. Now the children are playing a game inside the vehicle, pretending it's their school bus. Children still go to school. In a classroom at a school. Afra runs one of them. Afra says, "We're under siege. It's emergency conditions. The students will be hungry. You can't solve an equation on an empty stomach." Classrooms have to be in the basement to protect from bombing. Smiling faces and victory signs as children pile upstairs. But under siege, there's no way we can keep you all safe. A helicopter in the sky above, then Wad hurrying along with her camera. There's been a strike. A woman's running along in front of Wad with a baby in one arm and a small child beside her. They reach a narrow street where a number of people are milling around. The air is filled with dust. A man shouts, "A second airstrike is coming. Don't gather together. Disperse." A woman shouts, "Please God, please God. Amir," as everyone starts to run. Shouts of, "Go inside. Get inside." Wad's filming from the upper story of an already bombed-out building. Next, she's in the hospital. They bring a woman to the hospital. The woman's being operated on, and Wad says she's 9 months pregnant. The woman's baby bump, then a fragment of twisted metal. Someone says, "It's cut very deep," and the surgeon says, "Yes, it might have hit the artery." They have to do an emergency caesarean. Wad films as the baby is removed from the woman's body. The little greyish baby is held upside down, then placed on a table nearby. Its limbs are floppy, and there's no sign of life. Someone asks, "Does he have a pulse?" And the answer is, nothing. Someone urgently squeezes the little baby's chest repeatedly. Hamza is in the room and watching closely. He says, "Oh God," as one of the team rolls the baby onto his side and rubs his back firmly. A length of umbilical is still attached as the doctor lifts the boy by his ankles and continues to rub his back. The plastic sheeting on the table sticks to the little boy and is pulled away. The doctor rubs vigorously, then pats the baby, who suddenly opens his eyes. Someone says, "God be praised." The little boy seems to drift in and out a little, but then whimpers again. That's it. Cry. They're both okay. It's a miracle. It gives us the strength to stay in the struggle. Just like you, Sama. Eight months earlier. Sama's a tiny baby.
7th February 2016. My first baby, Sama. Her name is meaning the sky. Sky we love, sky we want. Without air forces, without bombing. Sky with sun, with clouds. With birds.
Summer. Summer. Do you hear me? Summer. 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 Summer.
She smiles in her sleep.
She's laughing.
Summer.
My happiness would vanish every time I heard the Russian warplanes. They unleashed a blitz on Aleppo to save the regime. Wad films two bombs falling through the sky, then hitting the city. Two more hit nearby. Four mushrooms of smoke billow upwards from the skyline. One night, we were away from the hospital. A CCTV camera films a car driving along. Others show two older women patients, each being helped along by someone as they walk through the hospital. Another films some young men being attended to. Then there's an explosion. Everything goes dark. Then the footage is filled with flying sparks. Suddenly, our phones went crazy. The hospital has been bombed. There's dead, there's injured. Please, can anyone give me details? What's the situation? Doctor, Ismail, the maintenance guy, has been killed. The regime and its allies killed 53 people. Dr. Wasim was one of them. The one who checked your first vital sign, Sama. Footage from a CCTV camera shows survivors inside the half-demolished building looking shell-shocked. One man hugs another. Targeting hospitals breaks people's spirits. Footage from a camera outside, which is positioned high up on a neighbouring building, plays an apocalyptic scene below, with people running away and one person carrying a limp body. Another day, and Wad walks through the building. The airstrike had damaged our hospital beyond repair. She films the destruction outside and in. In Aleppo, there is no time to grieve. By a miracle, Hamza found a building designed to be a hospital. Someone says, the architect said that the walls are quite strong. The weak points are the windows. It was not on any map, so the Russians and the regime wouldn't know where to bomb. In July, we went to Turkey to see your grandfather, who was ill. They're travelling along in a car. Suddenly, the regime launched an offensive backed by Russian air power. A plane flies overhead, then suddenly explosions rip across the city like huge firecrackers. Within days, we heard that they had almost seized the last road back to Aleppo. In one glance, I knew Hamza was thinking the same as me. Hamza climbs into a car with Sama in a front sling and says, "Here we go in the name of God." No one understood. Hamza's parents said, "It's too dangerous. At least leave Sama behind." A voice from a walkie-talkie says, "Russian planes are heading to the northern region." Sama chews on her sling. With our heads, we knew they were right. But in our hearts, we felt we had to go back and bring you with us. We didn't know why. The truth is, I can't believe we did it, even now. The car stops. "Let's go, lads. Is this it, bro?" "Yes, we're here." Three friends from the hospital came with us. As they travel quickly on foot, Wad whispers, "Oh God." The only way back was a narrow path through the front lines. Someone says, "Stay back here for a moment. We'll walk ahead of you to scout." Wad asks, "Dr. Hamza, why are you going in today?" He says, "We're going to Aleppo because we're 5 years into this struggle since the days of peaceful protests. Every single one of us has a huge role in supporting justice against oppression. Even this one has a role in deciding the outcome." He kisses Sama. Nighttime, and they press on. If you hear a shell, take to the ground immediately. Wad checks if Sama's okay, then someone says, "Go, go, go." They trek on in the half light. "What's wrong, sweetheart?" Then Wad says, "Almost there, Sama. Almost there, love." No one knew how close the regime soldiers were. Someone says, "Talk to her." And Wad begins to sing. These little chicks, they're very pretty, happily wandering around their mum. They drank their water. They said, "Ah." They happily thanked God. Someone shouts "Aleppo" from the car. Somehow, we made it. Hamza is greeted on their arrival with a, "Glad you're safe, doctor," and a hug. "Where's that girl?" "People seemed happier to see you than us, Sama." Someone asks a smiling Wad how she feels, and she says, "I'm relieved. I can die happy now." It was as if you were the daughter of the whole hospital. It was our destiny all to be here together. In a crowded room, people yell, "Happy siege," and "We are the besieged." Afra says, "I was asleep and I felt something warm on my back. I was like, has someone spilled their tea or coffee on me? Could it be my husband treating me to coffee in bed? I realized that when my daughter got scared of the airstrike, she got in bed and peed on me. What a poetic morning. I think this lousy morning was a sign we were getting besieged." For Sama. For Sama. A small pile of tires is burning in a bustling street. Thick black smoke rises up, and people mill about between the run-down and semi-derelict buildings on either side. November 2016, fifth month under siege. Flames rage and crackle in a bonfire that's spewing smoke. People are burning tires so the Russians can't see where to bomb. A crowd marching through the streets and waving green, white and black flags. They chant, "Hail Aleppo of the uprising! Shake the president's palace!" Supplies are running low. There's no vegetables or fruit. It's hard to find nappies and milk for you. The siege is no place to raise a child. Naya runs to Salem for a story. Daddy, tell me the story of the boy whose house was broken. The little boy? Okay. The boy was having dinner with his brothers and sisters and his mum and dad. While they were eating, he went to the balcony. As he stood there, an airplane came and fired a rocket. Where did it land? On his house. The neighbors died. His parents died. The ambulance came to help him and pulled him out of the rubble. So what do you do when you hear a warplane? Afra washes a cooking pot. Wad asks, how are you? Afra replies with a smile, I'm all right. Then she tips out some white rice into a bowl. Wad asks what she's cooking today, and Afra replies, it's all I have. In the end, we have to eat. But I won't mention it to the children or their father, so they don't get upset. It would put them off, and they wouldn't eat. They're not used to food like this. When she fills the rice bowl with water, little black bits rise to the top. One of the children shows a row of small, cut-out paper figures. He says, my friends who have left. How's the siege affecting you? It's cool, but we miss our friends. They're all gone. Some people stayed, but they're getting killed one after another. They get trapped under rubble, or hit by a rocket, or they die. He's made a large pirate ship out of paper. Wad asks, what would you like to say to your friends who left? May God forgive you for leaving me here alone. Salem calls out to Afra, come here. He says, I've got a surprise for you. You'll never believe it. It's not a tomato, I promise. He pulls something out from behind his back, and Afra exclaims, a persimmon fruit! For you and Wad. You'll have to wait till it's ripe. There's only one tree, unfortunately. Will it ripen by itself? It's like I got her a rose or something.
Thank you!
Afra says, I was telling him, let the siege end so I can eat persimmons. He jokes, there's no need for the siege to be over now. Smiling on the sofa, Salem looks thin. The children draw pictures at his feet. In their room at the hospital, Wad climbs into bed. I feel sick. I think it is the stress of the siege. An ultrasound screen showing a fetus. I'm pregnant again. My God, I can hardly find healthy food for myself or for you, Sama. I don't know if your sister or brother will ever open their eyes. The regime and its allies destroyed 8 of 9 hospitals in East Aleppo. We're the last one left. Someone runs in with a child, and Wad says, oh no, his hand. The boy is badly injured and lifeless. More people are carried into the hospital. Of one patient, someone says, he's had it. While of another, he's alive, boys, he's alive. The hospital's filled with people as more and more come in, walking wounded, as well as bodies on stretchers. A young girl holds a cloth up to her badly bleeding head. A man's shirt's cut open. There are almost 300 patients each day. Hamza shouts, bring serums,
أبوكي هو مدير آخر مشفى.
Your dad is in charge of it all. He quickly oversees one casualty, then moves on, leaving a colleague to tend to the man, whose body is blackened and bleeding. A long trail of blood, smeared across the tiled floor, leads to a man who's lying injured. Even the water is cut off. The injured man's dragged onwards, attached to a drip. I keep filming, trying to capture it all. A grief-stricken woman yells at Wad, "Are you filming? Why are they doing this to us? Film this." A man carries a bleeding, lifeless boy in his arms. She says, "It's mummy. I've got your milk. Wake up, Alia. I beg you, please." The man says, "Contain yourself." He says, "I told you to cover him." She pleads, "Alia, wake up." The distraught woman and her husband leave, carrying their dead child in his arms. I'm not sure I can handle it. She films a makeshift morgue, full of dead bodies lying on a blood-smeared floor. In their room, Wad and Hamza watch Sama rolling over.
Yalla, bye. Rohi. Bye, Sama. Sama, bye.
It's the first time in 4 days your father and I have been together. Either he's in the emergency room or I'm out filming. We've no time, even for you. No time to feel anything. Lying in Hamza's arms, Wad turns and smiles at Sama, who then clamps her hand over the camera lens filming them.
Mama.
You want to film us? Obscured by Sama's hand, the cameras jerk to the side. Then suddenly Sama's face appears in close-up. Sama grapples with a camera. Then it's suddenly taken over, and now she's being filmed. She toddles a step or two, then falls down in her quest for the camera. She grabs it and pulls herself up, then her body covers the lens. A hazy golden sunrise over the smoke-filled city. Clouds of smoke merge together and fill the air as birds flock in silhouette over war-ravaged buildings. Regime forces are advancing into the rebel area. A van drives along a deserted street. People set off down a street, pushing a cart laden with belongings. Some people are so desperate, they're trying to escape to the regime side. The regime is trying to kill them all. The small group of men, women, and children evacuees pause in a moment of gunfire before breaking out into a run. A man carrying bags lags behind. A woman rocks a baby in a room filled with injured children. A medic says, "A whole family, around 10 dead. Let's go, there's more casualties." Hamza says to make way. As a man's wheeled in on a gurney, Hamza says, "Get him downstairs. He's got shrapnel in his head." A little girl cries, "I want my daddy. I want my daddy." What happened to you? The boy says, "I don't know. It came down and our hands were hit." Were you all leaving together? Yes, all the family, he says. And then everybody died. Performing chest compressions on someone, a man wails, "Oh God, please." The woman next to him says, "Stop it, she's dead." Leave her. There's no pulse, she's dead. He says, "Where have you gone, my daughter? We only tried to escape for you, only for you." The woman wails, "We never made it. We never made it out." Medical equipment reflected in blood. Even when I close my eyes, I see the color red. Blood everywhere. On walls, floors, our clothes. A bloody floor being swept. Sometimes we cry blood. Someone mopping up blood from a bed. Then a man with a bandaged head and a leg stump being treated. The regime forces are capturing one neighborhood after another. They're squeezing us into a small pocket, just a few kilometers square. The entire building is shaken by a powerful blast. Wad's camera is still running as she races upstairs into a smoke-filled corridor. She says, "Oh God. My daughter's in there." She opens her room door. Sama is sleeping peacefully under the covers in bed. Mohammed, he's asleep. Asleep, you saw him. I gave him Sama. They will hit us again. Show me where it hit. A room filled with supplies is now covered in dust, and there's a hole in the thick concrete ceiling. When she notices a man touching a shell wrapped in cloth on the floor, she says, "Wait, wait, leave it where it is. Why would you try to move it?" He says, "It's very hot." The long cylindrical shell up close, the metal at one end mangled from impact. Let's warm ourselves on it. Two men huddle around it and rub their hands. Look, we're warming ourselves up. The president may be shelling, but it's still cold. Moving on through a door with a hole ripped in it, Wad says, "Another one, run. Seriously, I saw one coming." Hamza and others debate going down. Then he says, "Let's go." Wad's camera films the door from the other side, revealing the bombed room beyond. In a busy corridor, a woman rocks a baby in a carrier. From Wad's shaky handheld footage to Sama sitting in a woman's lap and playing with a mobile phone. Sama, I know you understand what's happening. I can see it in your eyes. You never cry like a normal baby would. That's what breaks my heart. They're even using chlorine gas on us. An oxygen mask's pressed to a child's face. A hospital corridor is lined on both sides with casualties wrapped up in blankets. We're crying out to the world, "Help us." Your dad talks to news channels all the time. As Sama crawls around the floor, in a video call, Hamza says, "Of course, the situation is very scary. The neighborhoods of Aleppo are hit with all sorts of weapons, bombs, cluster bombs, even chlorine gas, barrel bombs, and airstrikes. It's terrifying. And yet we see the international community." A woman says, Yet you keep on working and sending these messages to the world. Thanks a lot, Dr. Hamza Al-Khatib, speaking by Skype from Aleppo. Millions of people watch my reports. An online counter shows over 1 million shares and 68 million views. But no one does anything to stop the regime. We only have each other. Hamza's with Afra, Salem and kids in a sitting room. Afra smiles and says, "The other day someone called it the Daily Bombardment soap opera, featuring all your favourite bombs, missiles, shells, bullets, or anything the president can think of." She laughs. This is the safest room in the house, for what that's worth. Do they get scared? Yes, especially Naya. Wad says, "Listen, did you hear the missile?" Naya points and says, "Yeah, one here, another there." "What does it sound like?" Naya bares her teeth. "It has teeth this big." She spreads her arms wide. Salem says, "We spend the night listening to missiles landing here and there. We're both on edge." Afra adds, "We used to read a book together or listen to beautiful old songs. Now I don't have to do that, thank God. Just yesterday you sang for me." With Wad's encouragement, Salem sings, and the people gathered in the room listen. Ruined buildings, bathed in sunshine. Suddenly, an explosion rips into the heart of the city, sending up a huge cloud of dust and debris. Wad's filming in the chaotic, smoke-filled hospital, where one woman in a niqab is helping another who's hurt. A man carries the injured woman away. This is it. The regime forces are only one street away. People are moving through the dense smoke with an air of panic. Then Hamza appears. "Your father holds me," he says. "Look into my eyes. We're not going to make it. Abandon Sama. She has a better chance of surviving if they don't know we're her parents." People with flashlights are evacuating down a dark stairwell. "I can't do it, Sama. Your only crime is that your mum's a journalist and your dad's a doctor." A medic passes Sama to a woman. Hamza dares to open a door a fraction to check an X-ray in daylight. "Now I wish I hadn't given birth to you. I wish I'd never met Hamza." "I wish I'd never left home." Sama's smiling face, bathed in faint light, fades to black.
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me okay? Okay, God willing. The voice on the phone tells Hamza, "I want to speak to someone in charge. We don't have much time. We hear from the Russians that time is tight." The UN called Hamza with a message from the Russians. "Surrender and we'll spare your lives, but you must go into exile." After the call, Hamza says, "It's the Russians' plan. Up until now, they've been bombing and killing us. Then they say, this is your only option. We have no choice." No one can believe it's over. A man says, "So we can make it to the end of negotiations? Or are they just stalling until they finish us?" Hamza replies, they're stalling, of course. You don't really trust the Russians, do you? When a man suggests holding on for a couple of days, Hamza says, people are fed up with holding on. They'll say, stop being unrealistic. We have no electricity or food. We know this is our only chance to survive. To protect you, Sama, and all the children. But it also means all our sacrifices were for nothing. Our future is no longer in our hands. As a weeping Afra rocks and hugs Naya, the young girl turns and says, Aleppo is gone. Then she comforts Afra, wiping tears from her face. December 2016, sixth month under siege. An aerial view pulling back along a deserted, war-torn street in the sunshine. Decimated buildings, their guts of rubble and masonry exposed to the air, give way to a queue of traffic on the outskirts. At ground level, a street's packed with people, their belongings reduced to the bags and suitcases at their feet. Everyone's packing for their exile. An older woman walks along, laden with two stuffed bags. Saying goodbye is worse than death. The shell of the painted, burnt-out bus, with red stars along its side, and Arabic graffiti that says, we will return. Standing with Salem by a building in ruins, a tearful Afra turns and walks away. People are flowing down the street with their belongings. The wounded and their families must go first. I leave you asleep at the hospital. I want to capture this moment. With children in an ambulance, a woman waves and says, may God make this journey go safely. Wad says, God willing. And the woman says, let it be good for all of us. As a crowd looks on, Medical Society ambulances and a pickup truck, departing convoy, passing devastated buildings reduced to rubble. Filming from one vehicle, Wad says, slow down so I can close the door. They're getting cold. We're getting close to the front line. Now the convoy's stationary, and people outside are ducking for cover. They're shooting at the ambulances. We have to go back. Wad's shaky handheld camera films the shot-out wing mirror as the vehicle sets off back the way it came, passing demolished buildings and abandoned machinery. As casualties arrive back at the hospital, a nurse says, the sniper went absolutely crazy. You should have seen the children running away from the ambulance. The same children you were just talking to. We were trying to get them away. We all nearly died. The regime can't be trusted, but there's only one way out. The buses are here now to take everyone away. We're going to stay until the end to make sure all the wounded get out okay. From Hamza directing operations to a convoy of buses and other vehicles shipping out. Red Arabic writing outside the hospital, its upper stories barely held together by sheets, padding and crumbling masonry. This is the last time I'll see the hospital. Your whole world, for the first year of your life. Casualties are lying on makeshift beds on the floor, and people are milling around. A young boy stands waiting by luggage. An ultrasound machine. There's just time for a nurse to check the baby. Thank God she seems fine. Filming Hamza outside, Wad asks, how do you feel now that you're being forced to leave this place? He says, in this hospital over 20 days, we performed 890 operations, and received more than 6,000 wounded people. People are sleeping rough outside. This is not about the place. Places are about their people. Like the hospital. As Hamza stares off to the side, his eyes fill with tears and his lips quiver with emotion. He blinks and tears trickle down his face. Then he continues to stare off into space. In their courtyard garden.
Here, it's my lovely house. Where I lived.
Now a tearful Wads filming herself.
I can't believe that I couldn't come again.
Her handheld camera pans round past the entrance to her house.
No words can describe what I'm feeling now. We don't want to force to flee out of our city.
She films a plant cutting in her hand.
I cut these plants. It will grow out of Aleppo.
She films herself, closing the gate. Now moving at speed through empty, war-ravaged streets. The silence makes you feel the city is dead. Passing mountains of masonry and the skeletal remains of buildings with gaping holes for entrances, an abandoned truck and an entire block reduced to rubble. Sama, will you remember Aleppo? Will you blame me for staying here? Or blame me for leaving now? A caged bird is amongst belongings in a truck. It's been 8 days since the evacuation began. Now it's our turn.
It's 9 a.m. It's snowing. We are still waiting for evacuation.
A woman in their group assures a crying Afra, "We will return, I promise you." Afra says, "This is really it. I've stopped feeling anything." Naya's crying too. We've been waiting more than 50 hours. No one knows why, but we're keeping each other warm. They're burning things inside. After dark, two men consult a piece of paper. Then the order comes through. A view through a rain-splashed windscreen of a convoy driving at night. No one knows my face. But your dad's been all over the news. Hamza, are you scared of regime checkpoints? He says, yes, of course. Anything can happen. They might have a list of names of certain people that must not leave. Filming him from the passenger seat, Wad turns the camera on Sama, sleeping in her lap. As the convoy moves slowly, she says, "My heart is beating really fast." Sama's now playing with a toy.
The next checkpoint is the most dangerous.
She films out of the passenger window, the snow-covered ground just visible in the darkness. A bright light pierces through the windscreen.
There's the checkpoint of the regime.
The car fills with a flickering red light from outside. Then the camera's lowered and turns black.
Hamza?
We made it.
I'm
glad you're safe. Standing outside, Wad films another car from their group arriving and says to the men inside, "I'm glad you're safe." They reply, "You too, thanks to God." Crammed into the back seat with children, Afra smiles.
You, mommy!
Wad turns to her own car, where Sama's crying and says, "We made it, you silly thing." Later, they drive through snowy countryside in the daytime. We made it, Sama. I can't think about all that's happened right now. Only thank God we're alive. Afra's little girl cuddles into her sleeping mother in the back seat of the car. I thought we lost everything when we lost Aleppo, but we did not. Medics hold a newborn baby, still with its cord attached. We have Tema now. In theatre, Tema's head's placed next to a tearful Wad's. I can smell Aleppo on her skin. I have my footage too. Wad blowing the camera lens as she films herself at home in Aleppo. The people I filmed will never leave me. The children playing in the burnt-out bus. If I could rewind the days, I would do exactly the same. Even if I never recover from the trauma, I don't regret anything. Wad filming, the men graffitiing the University of Aleppo wall, a jubilant crowd, then Hamza in his scrubs, waiting for her with a smile. Fireworks erupting in the night sky, then Wad and Hamza as newlyweds, being showered with confetti. Marchers with the Syrian independence flag, then Wad holding a newborn Sama. Afra laughing, Hamza holding Sama in a baby sling, then him playing peekaboo with a surgical mask and making her laugh. Now Sama in a cute blue hair bow, being carried down a ruined street by Wad. I can't wait for you to grow up, Sama, to tell me how you feel. I want you to know that we fought for the most important cause of all. So that you and all our children would not have to live as we lived. Everything we did was for you. It was all for you, Sama. Pulling up and away from Wad and Sama to a lofty bird's eye view of the street, Wad becomes a tiny black speck walking down a road flanked by deserted ruins. Directed by Wad Al-Khatib and Edward Watts, a photo of Wad and Hamza in Aleppo, holding baby Sama close. A photo of toddler Sama with a pink bow in her hair and a handwritten sign that says, "This is Aleppo, what's justice?" Music by Ninita Desai. Hamza posing with Sama and his medical team, who are all wearing surgical masks. Wad holding Sama as she paints the burnt-out bus yellow. Then Sama in a pink sun hat, being held by two of Afra's young sons. A group photo of Wad, Hamza and their friends posing in front of a graffitied wall, filmed and produced by Wad Al-Khatib. Finally, a photo shows Wad, Hamza, Sama and baby Tema standing next to a Christmas tree.